still have a lot of people outside. It's getting to be more and more overcrowded. As everyone knows, this meeting has a rather special meaning. And since so many of us feel this morning so strongly about the meaning of this today, what it stands for and so forth, several have made suggestions in terms of how the meeting should go today, or should there be a meeting at all. And before we read some of the statements, I should like to ask that we all stop at the very beginning for a few moments of silence in reverence to the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And afterwards read a few of the statements here which have been written that should be shared here with the rest of us. So if I may I ask you at this moment to stop, cut off all of your thinking and go to the feeling for a few moments of silence, please. Any nation which loses one of its leaders is saddened, and when that leader falls at the assassin's bullet, it's not only a sad day, it's also a much sadder day and a much more pathetic day. It probably underscores more than ever the necessity for finding solutions to our problems. And those of you who feel deeply, and I'm sure all of you do, about the leader, his philosophy, and what it says to the rest of the world, I'm sure we'll want to join for a few moments and look at some of the sentiments and feelings expressed this morning as the world mourns the death of one of its great leaders. History only will assess him properly and put him in, I'm sure, the annals of the great Americans who gave their lives so that the rest of us may reaffirm through our every moment the principles which form the foundation of our nation. That reaffirmation, I think, is necessary and should underscore everything we do here. I have here, I will not read it in its entirety, I have here one called Goodbye Dr. King by Judge Lindsley. Starts out by saying, the white hands of American drip with blood, the red blood of one of the world's great humans. A man who was black by the happenstance of nature, but proudly so, stains the hands and the souls of every white American. It does no good to shrink from the fact. It is true and cannot be hidden. We all of us, killed Dr. King. He goes on to point out the necessity for recognizing this act for what it is and the hidden significance for us as we struggle today to try to find solutions to the problems which are subsumed under racism. I have here also an announcement that there will be a march this afternoon in La Jolla, starting at Swift Park at the Cove between 1 and 2. So those of you who wish to join with the march this afternoon between 1 and 2 starting at the Cove, you're welcome to do so, and in fact you're encouraged to do so. May I ask before I read the next one if there is any person who has knowledge of any other march or meeting today regarding Dr. Martin Luther King's death? Are there? Yes.
There should be one in state this morning in the free speech area, but I haven't heard the time.
All right.
11 o'clock.
11 o'clock at State College, free speech area. Are there any? Yes.
At UCSC, they're going to have a program at noon by the University of Faculty.
At UCSB at noon, there will be a program by the University of Faculty.
I believe so.
Dr. Salzman is going to talk, but it is at
Revell
College, UCSB.
At the main plaza there.
Main plaza there. Are there any others? While our agenda calls for coming to grips with the very kind of philosophy that pulled the trigger,
Mr. Chairman,
led to assassination.
Before you mention the word agenda, please, I'd like to make a statement.
Well, I have something else, George, before.
Off the agenda?
No, still in terms of Dr. Martin Luther King. The world, and more particularly our nation, has lost a great leader in the assassination of the Reverend Martin Luther King. I think this group should today recess to mourn this loss. I feel that his spirit is the spirit of our joint endeavor here in these dialogues, and all of us, white, brown, and black, want to reaffirm our determination to rid the nation of the racism which allows such tragedies to occur. This was written by one of the dialogue members to be considered. It is asking for a recess to mourn the death of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Before looking at any agenda, I'd like to have some kind of feelings expressed at this moment.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to state that I feel it's a necessity, and it should be a request, at least of the black people that are here, that this is more significant, it's more important than any business that could ever be discussed this morning.
We move for a recess and an adjournment now,
and I would hope that the brown people and that the white people would come out and forget this meeting this morning.
Two other people.
I am in connection with this. My fellow Americans, we have reached a new low in our aim for world brotherhood. A great advocate of nonviolence and a believer in the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man was killed in cold blood last night by a white bigot. This leaves a nasty taste in the minds of those of us who are trying to feed this menu to the millions of black people that inhabit this great land of ours. Our presence here on these shores that now make up America dates back far beyond the 1619 date that your history records. Black men have been on this soil since 1527 and have had a great part in and made their contributions in every stage of development of this land. The nations of the world look at us through eyes of suspicion this morning, and we cannot make them nor our black brothers in our country digest this menu of nonviolence much longer. The blood of such martyrs for freedom as Abraham Lincoln, John F. Kennedy, and now Martin L. King Jr., along with the voice of Mrs. Rosa Parks, is saying we're tired of being told you get up and let the white man be seated. We're tired of being kicked about by the brutal feet of oppression, and we have no other alternative but to protest. And for many years, we have shown amazing patience, led by the now late Dr. Martin L. King. Now the cost of nonviolence is gone due to our lack of foresight in parentheses bigots, we come now to be saved from the patience that makes us patient, looking for nothing less than freedom and justice. Our prayers are with this wife and those four children, that father and mother. But now the revolt is in full sway, and we cannot promise any more nonviolent acts. The Red Sea is behind us, and the march of Canaan lies ahead. And I am so moved that we adjourn in memory of the late Dr. Martin L. King.
Second.
Before you walk out, please, let me read one other statement, please.
May I first, Mr. Chairman, please?
Well, let me finish this one, George, and then we get back to that. Statement by City Attorney Ed Butler. Great men of all ages have given their lives to the causes in which they believe, and in doing so have assured that the world that they felt will be a better place for their having been there, having been here. I hope that all Americans of all races can find in this tragedy the inspiration to do the things that he said must be done for all minorities to be admitted to full participation in all phases of American life. City Attorney Ed Butler. George, did you want?
Chairman, yes. Black and white people are approaching a crossroad in this country. Some blacks have already arrived there, and Dr. King was one. He said when asked about fear of death, "It doesn't matter now. I've been to the mountaintop. I am sorry myself, and I'm sad about his death. He was a soldier, and he marched with his troops. He fought in this way, which is no longer considered adequate by many blacks as a way to gain our freedom. His death has proved to me that it really does not matter whether or not you protest peacefully or you protest violently. You will catch hell either way. I'm asking the black people again to adjourn this dialogue. I'm asking that the secondary school, those who are represented here from this school, dismiss all black students on the day of Dr. King's funeral. I'm asking that the flag be flown at half-mast at all public and all governmental and all business and all school facilities. I'm asking also on that particular day that the black community will have memorial service and that the black kids will have time off in these schools to attend that memorial service and honor this great black man. I ask all black businesses to close that day on the day of Dr. King's funeral. The question has been asked many times by whites. Does nonviolence give the answer? And now I ask the whites, do you? Does peaceful demonstrations provide the answer?
I should hope that this meeting would be adjourned with everyone's consideration. And it's been, a motion has been made to adjourn, Phil.
As an expression of sympathy to our black brothers, I move, I second the motion to adjourn this meeting to honor the memory of Dr. King.
Are there any opposition? Is there any opposition?
I have a slight opposition.
Not for our black brothers, but for our white brothers.
I don't really hear the voices of sorrow out of the white man's mouth. I think you ought to sit here today and think about what Dr. King's death means. I think he ought to confront himself about the fact of racism in this country that brought about his death, instead of running away to grieve when we were really not grieving. We're just assuaging our consciences and our guilt by doing it. I think it's about time that we stop to realize that it wasn't one demented little mind that killed Dr. King, but 150 million white fingers. They were on the trigger. They pulled the trigger. They pulled the trigger because they set up this man and his mentality to do it. He would not have done it had it not been for a racist conscious America. He would not have done it. But he did it because he thought we wanted it that way. He did it because he thought maybe we might not have had the courage, and he was going to supply our courage by taking Martin Luther King's life. We don't like to hear this, but I'm convinced that it's true. I myself don't want to run away from it. I myself don't want to stop talking about what it's all about. I myself don't want to bow my head and say a silent prayer. I want to lift up my voice and say something so somebody else can hear. I want people to think about it. I want people to consider the significance of Dr. King's death. I want them to feel as I do that their finger was on the trigger, as was mine. Now, let me read just a little out of the quote of my remarks. There have been many great people, a few great souls who have walked the path of this earth. And one of those few great souls has been removed from the earth's path. No white man of America, nor indeed of this world, within the life of these years has had a soul to match. Great souls have always been abused by little souls. Why does it have to continue to happen? Can't our souls grow a little? Perhaps they can, but will they? Is the promised land for the black man, which Martin Luther King in those short prophetic hours before he died said he saw ahead for his black brothers, through perhaps, though perhaps not for himself, really in sight? Are the justice and blessings of liberty of the Constitution's preamble going to be theirs before their journey on this earth shall end? Atonement is a concept of religion. We need a new religion of racial justice. Perhaps Dr. King can have atoned for our sins of racism. Perhaps he can bear our cross of guilt. Certainly it cannot be borne by the barren little soul that snatched the life of Dr. King from us. Perhaps now our souls can grow. Perhaps out of his willingness to sacrifice his life for the removal of the ulcer of race hate, while still loving those who hated or who allowed the denial of hope to others because of race, we will see ourselves for what we truly have been and are. Until we see and admit this truth, our souls will remain miserably small. When we do recognize and admit to ourselves and our black brothers that we have indeed suppressed them because of race, and that we have been wrong, we will start to do properly what needs to be done. We will not send the forces of law out to the ghettos with guns and clubs and tanks to control and keep them orderly. We will send the forces of law out to the ghettos carrying the Constitution with them. Law enforcement will become the enforcement and protection of the rights and spirit of the law denied to the black, not imposition of the sanctions of the law's letter against them. We will begin to do what Martin Luther King has been nonviolently imploring us to do in the name of justice. We will be fulfilling his mission. We too will have his dream. We will bring the black human into American life merely and simply as another human being with the same hopes, desires, needs and feelings that the creator of life imbues into every living man of every color who enters the life of this world. Equal opportunity in every aspect of American life.
So many new faces are here. Perhaps we'll move to the stadium next time. But welcome back. And before we take any action, may I acknowledge the absence of the members who have contacted us, who would be here, but cannot be here. If one or two items have come up, perhaps they will not, there will be one of the assistant managers who will come up here to give us a report. But because our agenda is a restricted one, it is likely that item will not come up for a report today, but perhaps next time. The mayor would have been here, notified me early in the week that he would catch a plane back if it were possible, but placed
I doubt whether he'll be able to make it, Carol. He should be back here by noon. He's in Sacramento attending the League of California Cities Board of Directors meeting on some important matters, but he said if he does get here, he will be at it.
He wanted us to assure that he would be here, and as Bud just mentioned, he might not make it back. The other members who would have been here, Mino Wilhelm would have been here. He's standing on the threshold of his budget preparation. Walter Hahn and Julian Wise. They are downstairs. They will come if the report comes up that they have to make a report on, but they are working on the budget. And I understand they are about to go over the deadline date. Charter called for them to have it in. But they wanted us to know they would have been here. I have not heard from other city councilmen. Have you, Mary? Other city councilmen? Is there any city councilman here? I don't see any. But have you heard from?
Sam Austin should be here. He was intending to attend the meeting.
He's the only one, as far as you know.
They might get a check down in the council office now. Dagny, would you call and see if Sam Austin is down?
Or any other council?
Is that a subpoena we're sending out?
The hard is wrong.
Is there any reaction to the minutes of April 5, 1968? If not, there, I understand that we have a deputy who will be taking the place of Deputy Gore, am I correct? Would you tell us who you are, so I know who you are?
Inspector Canole.
Inspector Canole will take Inspector Gore's place. Those at the table, and one or two others around the side, are the persons who are officially dialoguers. We will have to impose a rule that allows for those who were originally invited and since that time have been added, some not on the list yet, but who are officially here representing groups. For example, the Legal Aid Society has an individual here this morning, I think, who's not been acted upon by our committee yet, but will, until acted upon, sit here this morning officially. We will then restrict some of the comments this morning because we have a restricted agenda. I'd like to recap for you just a moment what we'll be doing today. I'll do so by reading the letter that the chair was authorized to send out after the meeting, not the last one, before that time, which would have been the agenda item for last time, 2 weeks ago today. It's dated 4-1-68 to Mr. Tom Johnson, President, San Diego Chapter, NAACP. Dear Tom, the dialogue has authorized me as its chairman to communicate to you the action which it took at its last dialogue meeting held on March 22, 1968, with regard to the issues raised by your statement and by those of the Mexican American representatives. This letter is in keeping with that authorization. The motion which the body adopted states in part, quote, I move that the 6 points mentioned by Mr. Tom Johnson and those mentioned by the Mexican Americans be combined and circulated to the members of this body and constitute the agenda for the next meeting. That our next agenda at that next dialogue be solely a recapitulation of the posture that the dialogue is now at and a statement of the direction that this dialogue ought to go. Continuing another part, that this dialogue invite all our friends to come back from their recess, walkout, and that the subject should include the subject of racism in San Diego and the vehicle through which action may be implemented, which is not this dialogue. Unquote. Based on this motion, I, as chairman, therefore, extend to you or your designees an urgent invitation to join us again on April 5 at the regular meeting of the dialogue session to discuss the issues as outlined in this motion. The suggestions and the posture as presented by you and the spokesman of the Mexican-American group has already been circulated and should be in the hands of each dialogue member by this time. Please note that the recapitulation item with the issue of racism constitutes the sole agenda item for the next meeting, and we look forward to a meaningful discussion from which we hope more direction can be effected to preserve, as you so well state, the integrity of the dialogue. Would like to hear from you if you have any questions in regard to this letter. Signed, Chairman Carol W. Wayman, City Community Dialogue.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
May I make a statement?
Let me recap for just another one more minute and then we will. For those who are not familiar with what we're talking about, I suggest that you just sit with us. Hope that you'll get on the frequency with us as we move on. It will seem at times that it's disjointed, out of context, but I can assure you that it will not be. We are to recap why we have a dialogue, its value, as the motion stated, as a sole agenda item this morning, and look at ourselves asking, for example, what kind of vehicle, if necessary, as stated here, should be either invented, created, or utilized, if it already exists, to implement what we're talking about here. We will not, this morning, entertain any kind of discussion that varies from that. I repeat, we will not entertain this morning any kind of discussion that varies from that. Words may differ and so forth, but we must be going in the direction of talking through that motion. Thus, we will not be summarizing or recapping all of the talk that we have done from last year till now. We will not be doing that except as it relates to that item. Tom Johnson could not be with us this morning, neither could some of the others, because of the strike that's going on in his company, and he's on a 24-hour alert call, so he has to be where he's supposed to be this morning. But he does have some members here. There are some other members from the Mexican-American group that was involved with this here, and I will recognize them to lead it off. Leon.
Well, I was going to say some of the things that you already said, Carol, but...
Oh, you should have told me that.
The fact that Tom and some of the other minority people are not here is not a continuation of the recess. As Carol just said, other pressing business demanded that they be elsewhere. But Tom, having been the principal spokesman at the time of the recess, thought that there should be some reminders of things which he had put, and thinking that this could go on even though the principal spokesman were not here. You'll remember that one of our city officials stated at a meeting prior to the recess meeting that, you minority people have told us how lousy we are and a few things like that. Now what are we going to do about it? As a result of that, the minority people got together, partly as a result of that, and brought in a 9-point proposal, which at which time the dialogue was reset. Now, there is a feeling on the part of the minority people that there is still something to be done in response to this proposal before anything can be lost by their not having been here. So that their not being here isn't a loss. Also, that one thing which disturbed us. And I'm sorry that Julian isn't here because it involves Julian. Was that at the time of the walkout, it was characterized by Julian as an example of black racism. This disturbed all of us because, in the first place, there were Mexican Americans involved and some whites involved in the recess. And in the second place, it seemed to show that the stereotyping, again, and our contention has been, and still is, that the principal cause of the problem is white racism, and that the non-whites are reacting to the white racism. So that even if it had been only blacks walking out, it would not have been, in our view, an example of black racism, because it was a reaction rather than an initial action. This was disturbing, and we would like to have, and since it was quoted in the press, we would like to have a statement to the press clarifying that particular statement by Julian. Why?
Do you wish to have him here?
We would like. That was the sentiment at this meeting.
If you will skip that phase, I will see if he can come up for a short time.
Well, all right. Then the essential part of the statement is that we would like to see the white people who have the power to respond take the initiative now. And the dialogue should really be with white people. We don't have to tell you anymore, really. We ought not to have to. Now, and I'd like to say something on my... it's not necessarily connected with the group meeting. That this is the time right now for the white people, for the power structure to take some action for two principal reasons. One, after the murder of Dr. King, the white people are more receptive, we think, to some kind of positive action. Two, there is tremendous feeling in the black community, particularly, to cut off dialogue at all, of any kind. If no response comes, if the white people who have power don't respond, and respond quickly, there will be a shutoff of dialogue from the minority side. Very important right now for you to take action and take it quickly.
The mood is to cut off dialogue. I think in the black community. Secondly, the other point was the urgency lies with the white community to dialogue. Is that correct, what you say?
Not to dialogue. Well, yes, to dialogue here, but to act.
Some of these dialogue meetings, because in that, the meetings that you were in, I think we have very influential people in there.
Well, I know we've each been mailed these 9 different points which have been requested, but
possibly there's some who don't know what these 9 points consist of. Could it be briefly outlined, and can we take them one by one?
Yes. Before we do, is there any other position statement made before I read these from any of those concerned in terms of the agenda item? Len?
Let me just kind of clarify what these 9 points are, lest it be lost. The 9 points were essentially in response to City Attorney Butler's statement of saying, let's get busy with things which are specific and direct. The position which the group of us who recessed was that the leadership should essentially be with the people who are in a position to make these decisions. But if what they were doing was to ask us to make some suggestions, these were our suggestions. These were not demands. These were saying that we really consider the responsibility for statements about where things should be going. It should be coming from the white community, not asking this small group what we should be doing. We felt we'd had enough of that. But if the final statement was, what should we do, these were simply our suggestions. They're not demands. We feel that these are the kinds of things that the people who are in authority should be directing their attention areas. And they were not the limitations of it. They were simply saying, here is what an area which is of concern to us where you might direct your attention. And it's much more of expectancy to have them make their best effort than to be concrete and specific and look at these and think that when these are satisfied, that these are demands and that our particular group would feel it has been completed with responsibility. We don't think that way. It's simply a mood and to say, if you pass the ball to us one more time, here it is back, but that's about the last time we're going to do that.
Okay, now, so that we can get it then in proper perspective, I'll read the communication that was circulated here with the points included so as to put it in full perspective. It's dated March 10, 1968. The first part of it is, attention, Mr. Wayman. This serves a news report covering the March 8, 1968 city community dialogue, quoted a city official as saying, quote, I think you, parentheses minorities, have talked to us enough about how lousy we are. There it is again. Now what can we do about it? The remark followed comments charging non-recognition of white racism as a frame of reference from which to shape actions in tackling the race problem in San Diego. In connection with the above, we suggest that the most significant immediate thing local government can do, other than programs currently underway, is to raise to the level of public debate the question of white racism in San Diego. Local government include all governmental entities such as city, county, school boards, etc. We further suggest that this should be done through official reaction to the validity of the Presidential Commission on Sober Disorders report in direct respect to its comments on white racism. We suggest such a reaction, if it accepts the validity of white racism, should include a listing of examples of the system of racism and recognition of its symptoms. We feel this is needed to clear the air and to crystallize in the minds of people, minority and majority alike, just what problem it is that official San Diego is trying to solve. The validity of white racism has been amply established as the crux of the difference in viewpoint between the minority and majority communities. Minority community representatives have forthrightly declared from every forum available the belief that white racism is the fundamental problem to be dealt with. The time has come for local government to officially declare whether it agrees or disagrees with this analysis so that the total community, total citizenry, can relate to its operating frame of reference in racial matters. Further evasion of this central fact, we feel, amounts to either official accommodation with the system of racism or a denial that it exists as a valid issue in San Diego. If continued dialogues are to have any integrity, We believe they should be conducted in an atmosphere of official clarification of governmental positions on the crux of our difference. And this way we will, and all know, where we stand. This is infinitely better than playing games that fool no one. And in connection with this letter and statement, we recognize there are some signs of public officials individually are getting the message on racism. But we see no signs that the message is being translated into public practice. I'm now reading the second part of that, which was passed out along with that first letter that was passed out here, Tom's statement. Daily in the papers, etc., we hear about the evidence of public officials, in fact, denying white racism. It goes on, and then it gets to the specific point. Later it states, we have looked for evidence that public officials recognize past and present racism that makes traditional approaches unworkable. We find none, in spite of almost a year of dialogue on the subject. We have been waiting for these elected officials to take the lead in ways that would be most productive on the theme. But if we're asked to give the direction, we can suggest a few things among them. Among these are things which we now feel are necessary if the dialogues are to have any future integrity. One, official pronouncements from the City Council, the County Board of Supervisors, and the San Diego City and County Schools Boards of Education on the validity of white racism as a fundamental problem in San Diego, city and county, in respect to solving racial problems. We feel no start on the elimination of racism can begin from a framework of attempting to shield the past and the fact of its existence from those who support and maintain it. That's the first item in its entirety. Again, the essence of it is official pronouncement from all governmental agencies on the validity of white racism as the fundamental problem in the city and other governmental entities in San Diego, and that no start toward eliminating that can begin except from that frame of reference. That's item number one. If you wish me to read them all and then come back to them, I'll do that. Two, yes.
Maybe you can read them all and come back to them, but maybe we lose, while you're reading over nine more, we forget about what happened in the first one. And,
let's stop it and look at number one.
You're asking public officials, as I get this, to recognize racism, particularly white racism. But what can public officials, and this is what I like to do, to change the thinking of the 1,300,000 people in the community? Now, I don't think we as public officials can change what's in the hearts of people. We can recognize that it's there, but what steps do we do to change that? Now this is the problem. We can't go everybody walking up and down the street as public officials change the thinking of people. I think through these dialogues and through meetings and through hundreds of people are changing their thinking, but we can't officially change their thinking, and this is what I'm afraid you're asking us to do.
Allow me then, before we get sidetracked too much, let me take the whole thing we're talking about there and put it on two different levels. We're first talking about public public recognition of white racism, public recognition and public pronouncement of that fact. That's on the philosophical level to establish the frame of reference. That's the first thing. On this level, and I think it should be separated out, this is a programmatic level. These are the actions. And here then we will begin to talk about what actions should be taken by whom. These are programs. On projects, whatever you want to call them. We should be very careful then to keep these two things separated. We have to talk about two levels. That's the crux of this position that's being articulated. Namely that whatever programs are operative on level two, they should be within the framework of the first. That public officials do not have to seek to change the heart or even the attitude, but start out with a public recognition that that is a fundamental problem. So now when you talk, Bob, if you'll tell us which level you're talking on, we're with you.
Well, this is the first part, I think, is essential. But then when you get down into your action and programs, the question is what types of actions and what types of programs can be put into effect which will change number one, and this is what we're working for. And I think this would be the thing that the public officials would have to say, well, now what can we do? And we can hold publicly, you've suggested, an official debate on it. This could be done. There's many things that I think can be done. I don't say there isn't anything that can be done, but there's a question just what those are.
All right, we're still on item one then, right? Item one, official pronouncement. We're talking about level one now. Official pronouncement from such governmental officials that white racism is the fundamental problem in San Diego, etc. Okay?
Would you say that the two resolutions adopted by the city council in the last 2 weeks constituted a recognition of that?
Would you ask that a little louder so others can hear it?
The city council adopted two resolutions in the last 2 weeks, each of which contained a statement that the council recognizes that ultimately the concept of racial discrimination abides in the hearts and minds of everybody. Would you consider that that was the official recognition and statement of the city council to the effect that white racism is the root cause?
Would others care to react to that now?
Carol, I noticed in the resolution that the council passed, they spoke of it in very general terms as racism rather than white racism, which may or may not be significant. But I think that the president's report put their finger on it in a much more direct and I think honest way.
Well, that doesn't really answer my question, Jack.
Well, I think it does to the extent that I think there's still a kind of a... I'm not saying that the council hasn't done what it has made a beginning, but I do think that there is a kind of a reservation and there's still a feeling that this is such a difficult concept to accept that we tend to make it easier on ourselves rather than being confronted directly with the problem as it is. Now, racism exists and all over the world, not just in this country. But I think that a very conscious and forthright and honest statement of the fact is really the first step in dealing with the problem. And I think essentially it's a white racist problem, not a black racist problem. Black racism is a reaction to white racism.
Other comments answering Ed's direct question? Did the two resolutions speak to the first problem here?
Perhaps we're back to a differential perception. I thought they did. I thought they were very forthright and exactly what we had been talking about here for some time. Bob?
Yeah, my concern is that I'm not quite sure whether the people who are here representing the majority community really understand the concept of racism. I know that you have given a definition, and I know everybody talks about white racism, but I'm still not convinced whether they can really digest the magnitude of the term or the implications of the term. I think that I would like to get some feedback from some of the people here. What is their perception of racism?
All right. Let's keep these two things in our heads in front of us for a moment. She has stopped us for a moment and said, what is the perception of white racism? As opposed to trying to answer the first question. Glenn?
Two things. One, from the point of view of those who recess, we felt that over the last many months, we have hammered out, among the dialoguers at least, the concept of racism and white racism. And secondly, I can answer Ed's question very directly. The answer is no. That it is considered inadequate in that it accommodates the sentiment of the white majority and says that we are still, for reasons perhaps political, perhaps circumspect, whatever they are, but that as a community we cannot, in an official pronouncement, say straight out bold white racism. That I know many of the people with whom I'm associated, as soon as they saw that and saw that white racism was avoided, felt that here again was an example where this city was unwilling to directly say and directly confront and to directly put on notice white people who hold those sentiments that they are now at odds and at variance with the official stance of this city.
To go back to what Supervisor Dent said, the question he raised, what can we do to change? I think the fallacy is to think that you have to take steps to change the thinking and the feeling of the people before you take practical, pragmatic steps to change those things in society which are a manifestation of white racism. White racism exists, there's no question about it, or we wouldn't be here. White racism, and white racism only, is the cause for the vast amount of inequality that exists in this country between and among people solely because of the color of their skin, and for no other reason. Unless we can say that there is in truth and in fact a qualitative difference between people besides their color. Now, if we're prepared to say that there is a qualitative difference between people of different colors, then we're not going to be able to do the things that we're talking about. But if we take the position that there is no qualitative difference between people because they are who happen to be of a different color, then there is no reason, no excuse, no explanation for people who are not pure white of suffering economically, suffering educationally, suffering recreationally, and suffering just by the looks upon people's faces. It's imbued in the culture of the white man of this country that the black man in some sense is inferior. I think we spend too much time out of our religious background of trying to equate that with sin. Well, it's sin, but it's not the kind of sin most people think about when they talk about sin. It's wrong because it treats people unjustly, But many of the people who are doing it and who are a part of that culture don't really realize that they are being wrong, don't really realize that they are being sinful and evil in what they do, because their culture has conditioned them that way. Official America ought to be at a point somewhere where they can recognize whether they feel inside of them, and I would suspect that 75% of the white people sitting in this room, no matter what they say about it, are racists. And they will find themselves from time to time doing things and acting with respect to darker people out of the fact of color and color only. I have done it myself. I've done it myself. I've said things myself, which I consciously I think about it all the time, and I catch myself doing it. I did it the other day in talking to John Johnson about something, and I said something about down at his office. He's up higher in the sky in his office than I am, and he's still in the same area of downtown. But I'm thinking, you know, we talk about down in southeast San Diego. We talk about down in southeast San Diego even if we live in Chula Vista. So you can't explain it geographically. The thing to do is to recognize that you're not going to, any more than ministers for 2,000 years have convinced people that they ought to live a life of brotherhood by talking Sunday mornings. You're not going to change the people of this community by talking about it. The only way you're going to do is to recognize that the fact exists, and there isn't an intelligent man in this room that doesn't know the fact exists. There isn't a perceptive man in this room that doesn't know the fact that white racism exists. The only way to meet it is to become leaders, is to do those things which are inconsistent with the existence of white racism in the management of government and the life of the community. And what will happen is that the people, as they are exposed more and more to the, empirically, to the invalidity of racism, will begin to realize that it's not so bad. Actually, it can be comfortable. And all of these fears and evils that we anticipate do not exist. And we're not going to teach them in advance. We're going to have to change the culture by changing the structure so that the culture can flourish differently.
All right, let me remind us that we are on number one, and the group that has presented this to us came back at our invitation in order to hear reactions to these points. The first one is the public recognition, public pronouncement of it. May Shavers?
Carol, in response to Mr. Dent's question, what can the white community do more than recognize that white racism exists? Possibly an attempt to suggest some of the things that maybe the white community can do is to more than realize that it exists, but also come to grips with some of the causes that would give rise to white racism. I think Judge Lindsay put his finger on one or two there. The fact that most white people feel superior to black people. Now, stop defining this superior position, an inferior position, among the white people themselves. As long as we debate back and forth here in the dialogue, we're going to be on the defensive one side or the other. No one wants to lose face in these situations. And as I see it right now, the big problem, Mr. Dent, is that the white man is trying to save face. And I think that the black community and the brown community should be aware of that and do what we can to help you to save face. And but in the meantime, it's your responsibility to examine these different causes that are in your mind that makes you feel that you are a racist.
Could I respond to his remarks?
Can I hold you up just a second? And
yes, sure.
And let Leon.
Well, the judge and Reverend Chavis almost said what I was going to say, except that I think I can add a little bit of flavor to it, and partly in response to Supervisor Dent, too. The reason that we started first talking about the notion or the concept of racism was because we think it's all important, as both the judge and the Reverend have said, in solving the problem. First, somebody has to understand what the problem is. And someone has to take a position on that problem, who has power, and to start take action as a result of that understanding. And the reason seems to me, well, in support of it, there is a, I was a psychology student at one time, and I'm not really so sharp on it now, but there's something called the James Longuet theory, as I remember. William James and a Swede by the name of Longuet put this thing together, the notion of an emotional structure, emotional support of a position in us follows the action that we might take. So that if you don't believe something at first, if you start acting it out, you begin to believe it later, after you act it out. So that's why it's so important to understand what racism is. And to start taking action, the county board of supervisors to take action in response to or in consonance with that perception. And later other people begin to understand what it is, or they begin to act in a way different from what they now, what they then feel, but they later become, they come to feel different. And they lose their racism by action rather than by philosophical perception. But somebody has first to understand it philosophically. And we think that needs to be the people in leadership.
I'll respond to both of them if you don't mind. I would say that what the Reverend has said over here, we will stipulate that this is true, that most white people feel themselves superior to the dark races. This I don't think there's any question about. But again, we get down to how do you change that? Now, this is the part that
I think there's
in this particular room there are people who are superior to me who have dark skins. Now, I think that's true, and so I don't. But I don't know how you go about changing this feeling that white races feel that they're superior. They have felt that way for a long time, and it's a long range program, and I think we're working on it, and I think these dialogues are the greatest thing that ever happened along this same line.
I have a few suggestions for later on.
Well, yes, we're not on that yet. We want to stick up there for one. He's asking public officials to take that position publicly. It's on that item. Tom, and then Martin.
That is one error that can easily be made when you start talking about white racism. Most people think that automatically, and I guess to some extent you are, that you're talking about attitudes necessarily that white people have. This really isn't quite the point, except in our society, most of the attitudes, most of the culture is determined by white people, and to the extent that this is true, that's so. But what you're really saying is that the whole culture defines people in terms of race, so that even non-white, even the Mexican-American himself secretly believes, even the black man himself secretly believes that white is superior to black. In other words, it becomes a cultural thing. And only when you understand what white racism is, only when you understand that it is an attitude which defines people on some sort of continuum,
in which the whiter the better, and the darker the relatively less. And when you see this as a cultural thing, only then can you begin to talk about number one here. Incidentally, only when you understand the insidious nature of racism that makes me accept it, even though what I'm accepting is against me, only when you can understand that can you understand black racism. Can you understand the black power movement, for example? Why is it so necessary? But I got to have my self-respect back. Somewhere I got to build it back in. But I certainly don't want to get to the point where what we're talking about is the attitudes of white people necessarily. It is that, but it's also the attitudes of all the American society.
Mark?
Carol, our word came to me. We talked about feeling and we talked about attitudes. And what came to me was that it is a delusion that whites are superior than the colored people. A delusion is something that is unreal, that is imaginary. And in this sense, I think that I have to support Mrs. Self's statement that maybe a way to begin is to ask if the minute that we begin to feel this, that we can think this is unreal, this is a delusion. Maybe this has more meaning, more meat to what we're trying to describe here.
When we get then on to level two, we'll get back to what you're saying. Act as if you believe number one is valid. Whether you believe it or not, act as if you do and move on.
I'd like a, about two-sentence comment about this. I don't know where I saw it, but recently I saw a picture of that was taken in this dialogue, and in the picture a black man was talking. I wish you'd try to find that picture and look at the faces of the white men who were listening to that black man talking. This little smiles, the slight smirks, the condescension, all of it. Well, we listened to it. We're hearing your words, but you know, inside, you're not quite measuring up to us. Just look at the picture.
I too think that we need to have official pronouncements accepting the reality of white racism. I think from a philosophical point of view, the old time theology used to say until we were convicted of our sins, we never changed. Now I've moved beyond the old time theology in many points, but I think this is still very real. I think the problem even goes deeper than just a color line. If we've got to learn to accept human beings as human beings, and the problem is the conditioning in our culture, which reacts to anyone that's different. The pressure to conform to our white middle class standards. Yesterday at noontime, I watched one of the good minions of the law stop a young man across the street from our church for no other reason than that his hair was down to his shoulders. And this goes on all over town. All you have to do is look like you don't belong, and you can expect to be stopped by the police. And this is the reflection of an attitude which says people have to conform to the standards which society accepts. What we need to do is to learn to accept people as human beings, regardless of who they are. And this, I think, should be the basic philosophy under which we operate, and this should be our goal.
We have talked about number one for a few minutes. We're still on number one. The position of those who came back at the invitation of this dialogue was to hear our reaction to their position on these items. They are not here to say we're going to debate whether the problem exists, so I'm still pleading that we stick to number one. Should there be public position as requested here, or shouldn't there be? And if so,
In what form shall we tell them yes, or shall we tell them no? Ed?
Just a reminder to those of you who may not have been in the early stages of these dialogues, the silence of the officials of the city of San Diego with respect to comments such as you've just heard does not necessarily mean we agree with them. Stated differently, there is a law of doctrine that silence is acquiescence. That ain't the case here.
Tell us what happened by that.
Yeah.
I think you're going around in circles. Get specific.
That's it. You want to ask that?
No, we don't want to get this into another one of these discussions concerning police harassment and the minorities and others. I don't know what the kid did. I don't know what he had on him. I don't know what act occurred. I don't know whether the police officer was in hot pursuit. I don't know whether he just clipped some poor old lady wearing tennis shoes on the sidewalk. Neither does he.
We won't get into that. Then. We're still on number one. We'll have to tell the group that came back to listen to us our position. I shall wait only a couple more minutes and we'll move on to number two.
I just want to ask Carol, is our long established definition of discrimination still valid in this particular discussion?
Of racism.
Right.
Yeah, of racism.
Right. Well, discrimination is enormous, man. It's only a manifestation of racism. Well, it was the definition which we were going by, and I just wondered to what extent there has been. There was a meeting mentioned which you attended, and it seems to me that this was a very positive step in the direction we've been taking. I wasn't there, and I can't say what happened, but I think that, talking to Leon, perhaps, that for me indicates that we have accepted the definition, and if we are progressing or going direct in the direction of whatever it may be. And you would have to explain. I mean, I don't expect you to explain to me personally about what transpired, but it just seemed to me it was a very significant, very important event when this committee met.
All right, I will recap that when we get down to number two in a few minutes for those who've alluded to it several times, the meeting. I'm this morning holding the meeting a little tight deliberately, as I told you when I began. This time it will not be the free swinging. I will be dictatorial this morning deliberately, for we have to come to something, some kind of position with regard to these items that were left with us.
Mr. Chairman. I don't know who speaks for the city, but some time ago we had a public statement in the paper and over the news media that the mayor himself, who is the mayor of the city, gave public recognition to what we've been talking about, that the problem here is white racism. I thought we'd establish that. We have been here for a year, bogged down with trying to explain terms, and we never get to the action. I think this is purely irrelevant, because in this thing, it's stating some specific things that should be worked on, and I'm wondering if the people responsible in these various categories have any report to make, and if the coalition committee that met last week had any response to these particular items. And I would suggest that we go on to the second item, because we can't speak. You see, we're bogged down with the whole business of power. What do we want to recognize, not whatever color we are? You're dealing with a problem of power or control over against the power to disrupt. And the power to disrupt can never exceed the existing power structure. The only way you can be successful is that you have to be strong enough to take over the power structure. We're dealing two things here. You dealing with politicians, and we're trying to use that type of thing, trying to make politicians and statesmen synonymous, which they're not. What we need in this thing is statesmanship. And you can't make a statesman out of a politician. And people that are in public office are elected people. And they are elected, as I've stated a number of times, they are elected by the people that feel that this particular man can carry out the sentiment of the people that he know are colored with his whole business of white racism. White racism and power, it's all tied up together. I've been trying to figure it out. I've been searching my conscience, trying to figure out how some statement can be issued that will get us out of this dilemma. All of us here are speaking from a personal standpoint of view. We're not representing 20 people when any of us speak. We talk about what we hear in various communities, what we hear in other communities, but we're not speaking to any other people. When the man makes a statement that it's white racism, well, he can't, he'll have to go back to his crowd and define what he meant and repent and all these other things. I know what happens in these caucuses where power is involved, and until you can overthrow the power structure with power, then you're not going to do anything. And we're all talking in philosophical terms, which you come down to, as I said, tangibilitating what you're talking about. You're going to have some power and some money to overthrow this whole thing. And we can talk about it all we want to talk about it. But until we can get the group that we brand as being a racist group, until we can get them out of control, we're still going to have it. The only thing we can do is get some of the things that I think in this thing they mentioned about coloring the police department with in the upper echelon, not down at the bottom footman, but we want some men up there that's carrying the orders, making commands. And this is the thing that's important. Not you can't define this public recognition. I mean, Judge Lindsay has repeatedly stated as a public official that it's white racism. As Butler stated, as white racism. The mayor stated white racism. But we still have the same problem existing. We can sit here from now on and talk about it, but we're not going to do anything until we get down to putting some people of minority origin as the chief of police or lieutenant or captain or something of that nature. This is the way we're going to solve it. Make him assistant manager, city manager, or assistant to the mayor. And until we do that, then we're spinning our wheels. We're not talking about anything.
Do you have a question for Clark?
No, not a question. I want to speak now as a white man.
Well, can I hold you off a minute?
On this.
Okay.
On this.
On the pronouncement.
On number one, the pronouncement.
All right.
Public recognition and pronouncement. And what has just been said, I think, is valid. If you think about it, it's valid. And I didn't say it as articulately as I hoped to when I first spoke. One of the things that is being demanded is a confession of sin. And that is not what you should expect of the white people. You've got to, when they have taken the position in stark words that the problem is white racism, I think that no more public pronouncements are necessary. From that point on, you want to see whether or not that public pronouncement was meant, and you find that out by what they do about it. And if you expect white officials or the white culture to say, not only is this white racism, but that makes me an evil person, you're never going to accomplish what you're after. I think you should stop with the fact of the statement that we recognize that the problems, the inequalities that we experience in our society and our culture exist because of the fact of white racism. And that white racism is the fact that makes it possible, period. And then you move on from there, having made that recognition, to take the specific steps that have to be taken in order to overcome it.
Don't expect us to admit that we are individually evil and sinful people in the sense that you want us to.
See, confession is a private thing. This is why the Catholics set up confession booths for man to come and confess it in the private way. You're not going to get people to stand up and say this and say the other. They'll say it in private, but they're not going to say it to the public. You can have a public meeting, and people will tell you one thing in a private room and come out in the public meeting and go just to the direct contrary to what they told you in a public place. People it's something within us that holds us back from public opinion. We won't express ourselves as we really are. And we can talk here from now. We've been talking a whole year about the same problem. We know what it is. I feel that most of these men that have been talking here, and one good illustration of it was at the memorial service out there. You had some 5,000 people out there of all colors that were there because of a deep sense of guilt that they were, if not directly, that they were responsible in some measure of the thing that happened to a man who was not in any type of violent pursuit of the things that were existing in this society of ours that were wrong. They were diametrically opposed to building a stable, lasting society. And those people were out there in deep repentance. We sat here in this room and saw tears falling from the eyes of people here that were not black people. You see, these are things, and I think we have to be fair in this thing. If we're going to build a society, we are part of this society. Now, if we're going to go someplace else and establish another culture, so well and so good. We're here under this democracy, under this capitalistic form of government, under this guy, the democracy. I'll put that term in there. But,
hold on there, Reverend.
Right.
Hold on there, Reverend. There are three hands. Glenn Short, Donner, and then Leon.
Well, just a couple of things. First of all, I think what's being talked about is that the public recognition has been made. By public recognition, I mean that I have heard from the city attorney, I've heard from the mayor, a number of others, from a supervisor, from the district attorney, of a recognition of this as a problem. They've made those statements. Those statements have been made here, and they've been made elsewhere, and they are public. But public recognition is not the same as a public pronouncement. They're two different things. And I think one of the things that we are asking is the next step, that when the recognition comes, the next thing you do is to make a public pronouncement. Now, what we are saying is that, first of all, I don't know how difficult it is, but I know that I read with my own eyes a presidential commission which said, as a public pronouncement, as a public report to the United States, that the central core problem is white racism. It didn't say racism. It didn't equivocate. It didn't say discrimination. It didn't say a lot of other things. It said white racism. That was before the United States has reported on its commission. One of the things that we had hoped was this kind of a leadership of this high a commission, of this important a personage as the governor of Illinois, saying so and signing his name to it, would make lesser bodies like city councils be able to say amen. That our public pronouncement, not only recognition, but our pronouncement is the same. We endorse it. You said it first, we'll just simply second the motion. That the public pronouncements that have been made have avoided that. I don't know that any public pronouncement at all has taken place from the city school board, which is one of the things we've asked, or from the city, or from the supervisors, which is another thing that we asked, from the county level. We do know that the city did make a public pronouncement and that it avoided white racism. So what we're saying, I mean, I concur with what Reverend Oxley says, that the expectation, if the expectation is that by making public recognition or public pronouncement, certain other things follow, that is not what we're saying. We are saying is that it is now possible because of an official report of official commission of the United States has clearly laid out in words which we think are the crux of the matter and which state that it is the crux of the matter have said so. And we are simply asking, do you concur and will you include those words in your public pronouncement? Let us, after that, the chips fall where they may. But at least do that much, and you don't have to take the leadership. Simply second the motion.
Donna?
Underlying both what Reverend Oxley said and picking up where Glenn left off,
A word of caution, apropos of this whole business of the word white racism, of the whole question of confessing sin, etc. People have a peculiar way of public confession in terms of picking up a term like white racism that it seems to me carries some danger, to wit. It's notable that a few weeks ago, as far as the Presidential Commission was concerned, and in this very room, it was abhorrent to many people to use the term racism, much less white racism. All of a sudden, and if I sound cynical, I am, it has become socially acceptable to speak about white racism. And the reason I'm underlining what the importance of the Hispanic role is fine. City government, county government, state government, federal government ought to say, yes, this is a white racist society and the responsibility lies here. But unless this gets followed through and promptly with some kind of action, it seems to me that you run the danger of everybody having done this public breastfeeding and then sitting back and say, okay, I confess I'm a sinner. You know, this is now socially acceptable. We're all in this together, period, and nothing happens.
Well, I think what occurred to me as both the judge and what occurred to me was that when public recognition, at least in my mind, is not tantamount to a confession. It is not that we're not asking a confession. We're not calling it a sin even. I'm not saying that people are sinful who are racist because people learn to be what they are as a result of the society in which they grow up. So that doesn't make them sinful, I don't think. But I don't think that calling it sin, I think rather that calling it sin maybe makes it more difficult to deal with. If we deal with it as a factual matter, then we can take the action subsequent to the recognition of the thing as a fact. Not that we're sinful people because we're racist. As Tom over there so eloquently put it earlier, we're all racist because, you know, everybody thought that he wasn't any good some while ago if he wasn't white, you know. That's the whole part of this society. So it doesn't make any particular person who's whiter than somebody else sinful. It only lets them know that this is a fault in the society and that he has the power because he's the whitest one. And he has the power and he has to solve it for all of us. That's really what we're talking about, and not to tell him that he's more sinful than we, only because he has the power, and because he can change and he doesn't, makes him the one who has to do something about it. Now, just to cite a slight example of what the kind of thing we're talking about, in Washington, D.C., in the National Geographic Society, there is a small display of the Leakeys. The Leakeys, the anthropologists, doing their anthropological studies in Africa, and subtitles of this thing, there are the Leakey, Mr. and Mrs. Leakey, and their son, and an African in this scene. The thing says the Leakeys and their son. It totally ignores the African who's also working at the scene. This is the kind of thing that typifies racism.
All right, we'll have to look at this and move on. We have some other points here. But before we move on, I understand that Julian is here now. Before we get to him and follow the rest of your tradition, so he has to get back to handle that budget we're going to hear about soon. We were at 2 points that have never been answered. I will answer one so we can move on. Ed Butler asked that the two resolutions speak to the first level problem. In terms of racism, the answer is no. It is felt that they did not speak to that problem. Good or bad, right or wrong, we'll get to that later, but they did not speak to that problem. They spoke to the problem of racial discrimination, which, according to the position postulated, is a symptom. Again, on level two, we'll have to speak to that, but on the first level, the answer is no. The other question was this meeting that I attended in terms of speaking to the first problem. The answer is no. I'll tell you when we get to level two some of the things that came out. On level one then, in recognition or public pronouncement, no, the Urban Coalition did not address itself
to that problem in terms of public recognition, of public pronouncement? It's a topic, it will be discussed, but the answer is no at this point. Leon, we suspended your other point until now. Can you tell us whatever you have that with regard to the presence of Mr. Wise?
Well,
Mr. Wise, this is you on stage because we didn't let him bring this point up until your presence. Okay? You are on the spot.
Well, it kind of pains me to put somebody on the spot, but it was the feeling of the group, a part of the group at least, the people who reset the dialogue on the 22nd, I believe it was, that the public statement made by Julian, by you, which was quoted in the press to the fact that the people who left the dialogue, rather the fact that they left was an example of black racism, that there were two things about this which we found incomprehensible. One, that the people who left were more, that there were other than black people who left. that there were other than black people who left. That alone would indicate that it was not just black racism. The other thing, that even if it had been only black people who left, it would not be an example of black racism because it was a reaction to white racism. White racism being the dominant force, being the principal problem that we're facing, that there can only be a reaction on the part of non-whites and not a principal creator of the problem. Therefore, it appears that your statement, Julian, was indicative of misunderstanding of the whole problem, and that since it was stated publicly and quoted in the press, that you ought to correct that statement in light of what I have just said, which I hope is essentially what the sentiments of the people were.
Oh, you wanted to answer that before Julian reacted?
Yes, I was just going to direct myself to Mr. Wise. I'm a Mexican American. I walked out on that day. And to me, what it indicated is that the Mexicans feel is the invisible man. Why? So I would like to introduce myself. I am a Mexican American. I am very visible. I did walk out that day.
Would you care to? Go ahead.
I don't think any reference to the term black racism is a denial of white racism. I don't think it's a problem. It's in fact racialism, and it won't exist, and whether or not white racism is responsible for black racism, which is probably a fact, it isn't the point. The point is that racism itself is the problem. This dialogue is increasing. I think we should address ourselves to do that over on the subject. That's what I think.
Are we supposed to comment on that?
No. I don't think we ought to let it break down into that.
No, but I have to give them a chance now to interact here to see if we responded according to what the request was, and then move on.
Well, it doesn't appear to me that because you see what we were contending is that this would tend to perpetuate then the notion or give justification to white racists to continue their racism to some extent by a statement of this character, Julian, because you're saying, all right, we're justified. They're racist, and now let us go ahead and be racist. And if the white races are, if white racism is the principal cause, then this is what we ought to address ourselves to and not to the reactions to that cause, because it tends to confuse the issue.
A couple of responses only to that, then we move on.
Well, I don't think he should walk out of here without having that discussed a little. To say that racism is the problem, as he says it, and I would say it too, but as he says it, he's saying that racism means white and black racism, and that it's as much a problem because black people are speaking for their race as it is because white people are acting as they do about their race. The white people don't say anything, they just run things that way. There is no such thing, in my opinion, as black racism. There is no such thing. Every time a black man stands up and speaks loudly about his superiority, he proves that there's no such thing as black racism. He's proving that he really thinks he's inferior himself, and he's got to shout. He's got to shout to prove he's not. And he has to, because of the existence of the fact of white racism. There is no such thing as black racism. I agree that racism is the problem, but when you say racism, you can mean only one thing, and that's white racism. That is a cause. What we call black racism is a result and a manifestation of white racism.
Glenn, your hand short.
Well, yes. I'm still not sure that the basic question which Leon raised has been answered by Julian, and that is that we were trying to understand why the word black racism arose when, as a matter of fact, the people who recessed at that particular point covered the full range and spectrum of coloring of human beings.
Well, the answer is because of white racism, pure and simple.
Well, I'm asking Julian how he overlooked the fact that the composition of the group which left...
He's just quiet now, I guess.
He has an advocate.
Right.
All right, hold up.
I would like Julian to answer that. Because that's the essence of what we're trying to obtain from him.
He can't answer that.
All of them. Do you have any reaction? Grant?
Seems to me that the whole thing here is being thrown a little out of perspective. We're asking one man to respond to something which he stated as his own opinion. He was not speaking for me. He was not speaking for Inspector Canole. He was speaking as himself. Therefore, why should we keep on going in this direction as though this man must make a retraction for something that he said? For all of us, because he didn't say that for all of us. That was his own perception.
But
so why do we keep on in this direction?
Because you were not on television. I didn't see you on television. I did see him on television.
Well, that is beside the point. When the TV camera is on and one white man is speaking, he is not speaking for all white men.
I understand that.
Therefore, if he wants to continue with that attitude, if he does not want to retract that, why do we spend our valuable time here demanding that he do so?
We should.
I think that question, Coben, as the chair, the last question is irrelevant. It is a legitimate item in a prepared list of things that the group presented to us. To the degree that it is, as chairman, I have to give them time. If it's no more than 2 more minutes, I have to give them time to react to it. But as a legitimate item on the agenda, we're going to spend just another minute or two to get a reaction out from Leon, and ask that we go on.
Well, you see, the request was that Julian make a clarification to the public, because it went out on TV, went out in the press to that effect, and we think that's harmful. If you see it, what I'm talking about, what the judge has said, what Glenn has said, if you see that, then we're asking that you make a correcting statement or a different statement which would tend to clarify the prior statement that it was an example of black racism.
If he feels that, he can't make that statement. It should be made by those who, in fact, are in top leadership above this man in the government. That's all valid.
Well, Judge, is there any reaction to it? Leon's last statement.
Well,
I said, well, I agree that the problem is racism, and that white racism is the cause of that problem. Now,
period.
I also insist that as a reaction to that problem, there is such a thing as black racism that manifests itself through the hate-white, tremendously militant movement that we all see. I think that's a problem, too. But that also is a problem.
All right.
All right, we won't get bogged down in that. I'll do one thing here rapidly and ask you to check it out in the dictionary, 7th edition or the 3rd edition. Racism as defined. Dropout. Racism as defined in the dictionary does not include black racism at all. It defines the term solely in terms of white racism. Rather than get bogged down in the semantics then, racism itself, by the authority, the dictionary, defines it in terms of whiteness. So we can move on from there. So we don't get bogged down.
Possibly.
Just to comment on that?
Yes.
All right.
Mr. Wise, in his statement, admitted that we do have white racism, and his definition of black racism probably would just be satisfied with black reaction to racism. And we're getting involved in the matter.
Yeah, I'd like to move on so we don't get bogged down with it. Point number two. Number two, I read in its entirety. I read two and three in order to get coverage. Local governmental declaration. I'm now still talking about the specific item that was presented. That was presented to the dialogue. The first was, as mentioned, the public recognition and public pronouncement. Number two. Local governmental declaration that traditional employment testing criteria are invalid with minority race applicants due to established educational disadvantages to them inherent in the educational system of racism. And three, following that, place Southeast San Diego schools under ghetto rule so that the scope, content and method for teaching minority race students may be freed from those who administer them from a racist frame of reference. We feel it's impossible for minority race students to receive equal education under administration of those who accept the normalcy of racial segregation. Those are the next two specific things included in the statement left with us.
Mr. Chairman, I think what we need there is the writer of this particular request to explain what he's talking about. I'm confused when you start talking about ghetto education. I don't know what he means by ghetto education. Wherever you are, it's ghetto. I mean, ghetto means anyway. The Hoyas are ghetto.
But let's don't get bogged down in semantics again. By ghetto, we simply mean, by simply, as we talked over the month, referring to the Southeast schools, as he starts out by saying, those schools that are in the minority community, Southeast.
But it's the ghetto rule, under ghetto rule, this is what bogged me down. I don't know what he's talking about.
All right, I'll clarify so we can move on. He might not agree to this clarification, but in order to make it meaningful here, I will chance clarifying it for him. This is the philosophy which has been advanced lately, that the schools in the ghetto should be controlled by that minority.
What you're saying now, that we're going back to pre-1954 days, is what you're saying.
Well, I'm not interpreting it yet. I'm clarifying it so we can talk.
When you say that, this is pre-1954. what you're saying now.
It's no, no, that is not what I'm saying.
It has to be a position ruled by the ghetto.
No, hold it now. My point as chairman is to clarify.
I understand.
All right. The clarification is that philosophy that says black schools are part of a black community, brown schools are part of a brown community, that there are already two societies which exist. There is a black and brown community and a white community. And that now, in 1968, those schools have been controlled by whites. That is not the way it's... Now, the new idea is that those schools now should be controlled by blacks or browns, which is different from pre-1954. That is, principals, superintendents, counselors, or what have you, should be black or brown according to the school. That is different from the pre-1954. It is saying, in a nutshell, you have the two or three communities, make those communities all controlled by those individuals. Now that's for clarification first. So we can get it on top of the table to look at it.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman, it seems to me that what you said initially was the general tenor of this dialogue session today was going to be different than that of other sessions. That the group which recessed had left at the point of their departure a statement which was enumerated with points which we felt were directions which public officials might take and might respond to. And what we had anticipated that this meeting would be today when we came back, that there would be some kind of official response to that.
What I'm saying is we're carrying on now
in another way than we had in the
response
past.
Response to these points is what we're waiting for. School officials are here, public officials are here.
May I ask a question?
You may.
I haven't been here for a while. This is the first time I've seen this list of statements. Number three, applying to the schools, I'd like to ask a question about it, because we were under the impression, due to the reports, due to the people that have come before the board, that they wanted our school more completely integrated to do away with de facto segregation and to have both minority and majority teachers in all of our schools and all of these things that we've been hearing for a long time. This is the first time I've heard that you did want, or the person that wrote this, wanted schools run by ghetto rule in Southeast San Diego. May I have more explanation of this? Why hasn't this been brought to the attention of the board if, in fact, this is what is being now asked?
Mr. Chairman, I direct that. This is why I say that when you come into a meeting with a statement, you're not speaking for, this old thing that has been said for a number of years about who is the leading Negro down there who speaks for the Negro. We don't have any more of those.
We will not entertain that. We are speaking to points presented to us that was passed out at the 22nd board meeting here, dialogues, that asked for a reaction to these. Whether or not people around the table agree to them is irrelevant. The point is we're here to get some reactions to those, and we'll get by-led or get off the beaten path here if we don't stick to it. The reactions must be to these two points. I will rule anyone else out of order, as I indicated when I started out today, being dictatorial, deliberately. Mr. Dent.
Then, Carol, may I further
ask, sorry.
If you want reactions to these, then I would appreciate it very much if any of these reactions would be presented to the Board of Education or to me personally so that I could study them over and know what kind of reactions there are in regard to this number three.
A point of personal inquiry, Mr. Sam.
Yes. Inquiry only, please.
Yes. I understand that these are for the purpose of getting reaction from the people who can do something about the change the thing. These are the demands from the black community to the white power structure.
No.
Well, who are they?
These are parts from a group from Southeast San Diego in conjunction with the Mexican Blacks, in conjunction with the Mexican American group and Asiatic group,
that have drawn up certain kinds of requests or demands and presented here as part of the positions which they wish clarified. That's what these are.
As far as I thought, inquiry, Mr. Chairman, is in the point of why the I wouldn't be an inquiry. I don't know what I'm saying.
That's right. So that's not inquiry.
All right.
Hold up, and you get back to that. Let's go on here, Mr. Dent.
I want to speak along the same lines as a member of the Board of Education. Seems to me like this request is exactly the opposite, as I've read in the paper, of the request that's been made before the Board of Education, which I used to be a member of. They've asked to bus children back and forth so they can be integrated. Now, this request is just the opposite, and I think we should table this matter until we get some clarification, because this is not according to the request of other organizations who have appeared before the Board of Education and requested. And it seems to me like we're going opposite to what other request minority groups have made to the Board of Education.
Mr. Chairman, one of the chairmen of the black community, I would like to move that this thing be tabled for further clarification, because I have heard this before.
I think I can perhaps clarify just a bit the reason for this. Seeing is that the white school board, predominantly white school board, hasn't done anything creative about integration and isn't going to do anything about integration. And if you're not going to do anything about it, at least let the people who live in the area control their own schools instead of being dominated by the white culture.
But you see,
Hold up, Reverend Oxley. Dan Brown.
I think a good starting point here, Carol, might be as far as the school problem. Is that the validity of a neighborhood school policy entrenches segregation?
Would you clarify that just about three words more than you use? Just a clarification.
I think also this has been a lifetime request of all of the public appearances at before the school board, that we will get a policy of interest that would support the 1954 Supreme Court ruling on desegregation, and they have failed to do this.
So you were saying somewhat as the Reverend did over here, they failed to do that, and therefore this is another position.
Yes, your test of integration and freedoms is open policies. Without your open policies, you have no freedoms, you have no democracy, you're dealing with fascism all the way.
Right. Your hand? You still wish to say anything? You do?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, and I don't mean to give a right to the session, but it appears to me that what this is simply a reaction to the acknowledgement that integration, even though it is talked about and it is brought to the school board by various citizens groups, the school board itself has taken no made no real policy, has done nothing creatively. It has moved in a direction which would appear to make the schools, and the schools are more segregated than they were in 1954, and that as long as the school board is making the decision for those schools, we will probably have more compensatory education programs, more programs which will be designed toward furthering the whole myth and stereotype inherent in the reason for the acceptance of white racism by the majority community anyway. I think it would appear to me that this would be a move which one would take as an offensive act to break that chain that binds those students in predominantly minority schools, whether it's black or brown. And they would do, I would imagine one reason for doing this would be because the leadership doing this if we have time.
Right.
Too hard are we talking?
We're still talking about two, three, and I should have read four plays out these San Diego schools under ghetto rules, simply meaning the schools under the control of those where the schools are. Four even goes further and says the school board action pending in this interim period to place the schools under the principalship of minority race principals in Southeast schools in accordance with the school's predominant ethnic composition. That is, if it's Mexican American, place that school under principal of Mexican American, if it's black, under black, and et cetera. That's what we're talking to.
In those areas where you have predominantly one nationality living, I think that the ruling hand should be the person of that origin. Even though you have mixed teachers in the schools, like in Southeast San Diego, Lincoln School, for instance, there's almost 75% or more white teachers in that school. The Negro principal is something unheard of in this city, in this county. I think that what we should do in the areas where we have predominantly Negroes and Mexicans, the ruling hand should be the person of that office. So now, I'm just speaking from my point of view as opposed to what some other people have said about this particular question. Now, if this had been done in the past, I think we would have had a better school board and a better school system now. But this has not been done.
This is my point. This is what he said is different from ghetto rules.
It's the same thing.
He's just talking about ghetto rule. It's the same thing. It's different terms. That's all they're talking about. I'll ask him to change that so it makes it a little more explicit. Man, sure.
Well, yeah, point of order, Mr. Chairman. Point of clarification, rather. Am I to understand that in coming back, that in agreeing to come, as we did, to come back here, one of the things that we came back prepared to listen to was an official response, which is what I thought was going to be done, to the statement which was made when we left. So far, I have heard some piecemeal discussion of this, but I have heard, which apparently does not exist, that there has not been any kind of official response on the part of any one of the city officials or any particular department to the statement which was made when we left. That is, specific points were made. The reasons for their being made were clear. We were not making demands. We were saying that if you will not assume leadership and you again say, what is it that we should be doing, we will give this kind of direction. But it is up to you to assume the leadership. Here are some ways you might address in which our ears are tuned. And so far, I've heard no position statement in response in toto to that kind of thing. Does one exist?
Right.
If you'd like. Now, you want some statements from public officials.
Yes.
This is what you're asking for.
That's what we're asking.
Now, we do have a motion, and it's, if you will rule that it died for lack of a second, a public official would like to make a motion. And I would like to move that this matter be tabled and allow the Board of Education sufficient time to study it and come back to another meeting where this will be discussed.
Those items dealing with education.
That's right. Items dealing with education. I would move, as a public official, that this matter be tabled until such time as the Board of Education had time to study it.
Second the motion.
Who second the motion? The moved and seconded that these items relating to the school, which would be, in order to spell it out, items 3 and 4, be tabled until the Board of Education has had such time to study them, get a reaction.
I'd like to amend that for 2 weeks to bring that information back.
The louder, please.
I'd like to have that information brought back in 2 weeks in that performance of an amendment.
Second to the amendment? Yes, yours was seconded, but now we have an amendment.
I want to agree to that second because 2 weeks would not be enough time to study this.
Hold up. The amendment has been seconded. Question. Any question on the amendment? All questions. call for the question.
I am.
All those in favor of the amendment, which was that the report stated by the original motion be made here in writing in 2 weeks, let it be known by the word aye.
Aye.
Opposes?
No.
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 Ayes have it, and the amendment is passed to the motion that these be tabled, as you heard. All in favor of the motion.
Sir, you got a statement here that we don't know who made this statement, and what you're asking is that the school board make our schools in San Diego like the one Mississippi where I came from.
Sure.
Now, don't bring me that bit about what you want is a separate colored board out there and a separate Mexican board and separate black teachers in the schools like I went to and separate Mexican teachers in those schools. And this is somehow in some mysterious way going to bring us to some better society. Now, I think that you should insist before you turn this over at school board in this form. I think that you should insist that whoever wrote these down state specifically what their ultimate objectives are. What is it you're trying to accomplish? What is it you're trying to achieve?
Chaos.
Because chaos, okay, you achieve chaos. Okay. We all go together then. But I'm telling you, this recommendation in this form should not be given to the San Diego Unified School District School Board. And I'm asking that it not be until you can get together on just what it is you're trying to achieve.
Am I hearing you right when you say this should be redone in terms of form? Setting out these specifics.
Yes, and right. Setting out what the objective is. What is it? I understand it, but it doesn't come through clearly
right. The
way those are worded. And so I'm saying they should be worded to spell out clearly what you're trying to achieve.
All right. Still on the question?
On the question.
That is the question.
Tom McJunkin is Uncle Tom. I haven't sounded like it, but then I'm a honky. because he has expressed precisely how I feel. I sat for 10 months as chairman of the committee that made the report to the Board of Education that recommended that the Board of Education take bold steps to correct the imbalance in our school system. One of the problems in the educational system is the neighborhood school. And so what you want to do by the whoever wants this, by this motion, if it is made or if it is adopted as it sounds, is to create another and a worse kind of a neighborhood school setup and therefore perpetuate racial segregation in society. Because I'll say this to the Board of Education, I think the educational system is more responsible than all the city councils and all the boards of supervisors and all the presidents and all anybody else for the existence of our the inequality of our society. This is the institution above all else which has something to do with creating culture, and you've created culture by creating little segments of schools. I think I sense what is meant by this request, and that is that you're not moving very fast to do anything about integrating the school system, and that's certainly true. Not only not moving fast, you're not moving at all. That's true. You're not discharging as the Board of Education your responsibility to do the things that you can do in this area, and that's true.
You're not really speaking to the question.
I am.
What you're speaking to is whether or not there should be validity to the position of the statement. The motion is that it go to the board.
and they study it, as opposed to whether or not the position is a valid position. Well, I think you're speaking to the validity, or the lack of the validity of the position.
And while I'm not, how can I sell my position on the motion unless I discuss the validity of it? I'm trying to convince people of the point of view so they will vote on this motion in a certain way. And they have to take these things into consideration in order to vote. The Board of Education has not done in the interim what it ought to do, and that is to begin to understand the needs of the people here, their culture, and to take those into consideration in their compensatory programs and the programs that they now are operating, so that those are still also by and large, and they accomplish nothing. Now, if you mean by this motion that the Board of Education ought to move down to, the Board of Education itself ought to move down to the Southeast San Diego and begin to find out, ought to move into the black community and find out, ought to move into the other segments of the community and find out from the people there, in fact, what their culture is, in fact, what their problems are, in fact, how to proceed in the interim with the educational system in order to assist them in moving up until such time as you get around to creating integrated schools, then I would go with it. But it's not that, and I would suggest we vote against it. We can't ask the Board of Education, in this dialogue, I can't, to do what this motion says.
So study it.
Not to study this, I wouldn't.
Yes, it needs
to study. No, but the motion is that it be presented to the board and studied. That's the motion. And study it.
Not
to
what?
To study whatever they mean by it. Whatever they mean by it. And comment wise to clarify. But that's the motion we're still talking to. With the question for
it.
Just
more
clarification here. I'm very much in accord with the way that the judge feels on this, because the very fact that when this suggestion was made, I think that they had in mind that the school board itself has been dragging its feet and taking action on the Lindsay report. This whole thing grew out there. They picked this as a way of getting it before the school board, that nothing had been done actually about the Lindsay report. I happened to be present when this was discussed.
All right. I can't recognize some hands. I'm sorry. Glenn.
On the motion, Mr. Chairman, again, I am totally mystified by the fact that 1 month after these were presented, we are now in a position of clarification. I would have thought that
I'm
when...
I'm sorry, I have to read you out of order. We're talking to the question on the motion.
That is what I'm talking about. The motion has to do with the question of time when this is to be reported back. And what I...
No. That is not the question before us. The only question before us at this moment is whether or not these, as written or later rewritten, should be presented to the school board in some form, and they study them and report back here.
In 2 weeks.
That's the only question for us. The amendment has already been passed that the report comes back here in 2 weeks if the motion carries.
Yes.
I will rule you out of order unless you speak to that point.
No.
Will you read for us the motion that we're going to vote on? I want to hear it in every word that it contains. I want to know.
Can you repeat it exactly, Mr. No, sure. If not, can you back that up anywhere? Mrs. Dyer, can you give us the essence of it acceptable to us?
Well, I want some clarification, because I would like to say that the board, in all sincerity, and before I was elected, passed a resolution that established Judge Lindsley's committee, and they worked hard and diligently for 10 months, and we have...
Again, just for clarification, the items that Mr. Dent was referring to are contained in items 2, 3, and 4 of this document before us.
Those items which relate to local school and local control.
That's correct.
We are only talking to that question on the motion. Should this go to the school board, whether good or bad, is irrelevant. Should they have these to react to? I will continue to rule you out of order if this is not spoken to. The question has been called for. All in favor of having those items reworded or what have you.
You can't put that in, Chairman. No.
All in favor of
that's right. You cannot insert reworded.
All right.
They have to go just like they are.
All right.
And that's why I raised the question.
All right. All in favor of the motion as stated. That these items be carried to the board, etc., as stated only.
That means that we want the board to study whether there should be...
No. All in favor of the motion as stated, let it be known by the word aye.
Aye.
Does that include the amendment with 2 weeks on
no.
it?
No. We've already voted on that.
Yeah, that's amendment.
Yeah, the amendment stays. That includes the amendment. All in favor of aye, passing?
Aye.
All of those opposed?
No.
The motion dies.
Now may I make a motion on this subject?
Mayor?
Please. It all goes back against the role of the dialogue, which is what I thought was to be on our agenda today. We are forwarding an item to the Board of Education, not really being clear ourselves what it involves or what it means. I don't like to be put in that position. I think this group should decide what is our role, what is our function, are we to study something first and forward it to an agency? We haven't clarified that.
The motion died. The motion died. No, this, we used the voice vote before. We could use it there. It died. One of the other items presented to us is that which was just presented. On the second part of that we talked about today on the item was the need to clarify the purpose or purposes of the dialogue in terms of short and long range goals. We recognize that this is an ongoing, continuous, and most necessary function of any dialogue. A, is one of the purposes to help others gain awareness of attitudes of those involved in government as they apply to the agreed upon definition of racism? Or is the dialogue as composed and accepted now the best place to accomplish this? Are the most effective techniques being utilized? Are all the ethnic and organizations represented agreed on this one specific goal? In the introduction today, it was mentioned the motion that brought us to this agenda item was whether or not we should discuss the existence of a vehicle to accomplish these programs. We're now talking to the second point only. What should be the purpose of the dialogue? Where do we go from here? Recognize you for 2 minutes.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to ask your permission to go off record for 1 second.
I don't know that I can permit that. I don't think so.
Well, it's related to Mr. McDonald's statement, and it is an emotional statement that may cloud the whole understanding of racial requests, racialism, racial separation.
Get me started out, and I can tell you where
he
it goes off.
The statement that integration in the presence of a room to separate, a request to separate, is inconsistent, and I disagree.
Say it again, please. Just start again. Say it again.
Under the rule to separate, or rules and policies that promote separation, then one stands up and says, we want separation. That is consistent in practice and principle. And he demeans the person under the rule of neighborhood school policy, which demands and entrenches segregation, who stands up and says, we want all Negro and all Mexican schools.
Well, I'll have to not talk to that point. I have to not talk to that point. We're at the point of looking at number two now. Number one, we're back to number two again. What should be the vehicle? Who should be the persons, what agency groups or what have you, to carry on that this action? Should it be this dialogue? If not, what is its function? Should it continue? Or should there be other vehicles to get the job done? Only that second point, right here.
Mr. Chairman, this tells us back 9 months ago.
Of course, but don't recap it. Let's talk to it today.
Well, I think that if this group is going to have any meaning, we're going to have bona fide representation from all segments of the community, from the power structure and all segments of the community, that will be prepared to speak for the majority of the group that they represent for action. And the only way action can be taken, we have to set up a chairman and the whole staff. We'll have to form a bylaw the whole mechanics of organization will have to be instituted here.
For the action, you say?
For the action, yeah. Now, we said that this group would bring about an awareness of the various problems that were existing, and that we would have group representation, representation from every group that can change policy. And this is where we are today.
Let me see if I'm getting you right, so that everybody... I know where you are.
All right.
He's saying that one of the purposes of this dialogue was to have sitting here top officials who can bring about change and people from the community and become aware and sensitive to that change and bring it about. And you're saying that we need to look at that top representation again? Are those who can affect change?
Yeah.
As one of
these.
We
want to have votes.
All right, we got it.
Hold it. Don't.
Mr. Chairman, again, point of order, whatever happened to what you said you were going to do? That is, the agenda today was going to be suspended and confined to a response to the statement made when the people who recessed. Again, I have heard us back to the old dialogue format. I have heard most of this many times before. I still have yet to hear any kind of response to the statement which we made. Not only have I not heard that, but it seems to me that various important segments of that, namely the school board and the police department, those were some of the other points on here, have not in fact taken these things to heart for the past month and have come prepared either individually or with a single statement to respond to it. The understanding of the people who recessed was that your invitation said, we have heard what you are complaining about, you have told us enough about how bad we are. We are now ready to assume leadership if you will come back and respond to those areas which you have designated. So far, I have not heard that. That was the order of the day as I understand it. Is that and every time that has come up, the public recognition, we have evaded it with no clear statement about it. When it's come up to the question of schools, we have managed to get around the question of putting it to them at all. There's no motion on the floor that does or disposes of it anyway whatsoever. And the additional remainder of those points is apparently not to be dealt with either. So this, I thought, was that those who recessed had come back to be prepared to listen. And so far we have not yet heard that those points have been responded to collectively or individually by the important segments of the community to which are addressed.
Our next agenda item at the dialogue, meaning this one, would be solely a recapitulation of the posture that the dialogue is now at and a statement of the direction that this dialogue ought to go. That this dialogue invite all our friends to come back from their walkout recess and in parentheses, and that the subject should include the subject of racism in San Diego and the vehicle through which action may be implemented, which is not this dialogue.
We have over 100 people in this room right now. If we get too many more, we're going to be back out in the chambers outside. I hate to see it get too much larger, because I think you lose a lot of the fellowship when you're unable to sit around the table and discuss these things out. And we don't like being lectured to, and that's what happens every time we move into the chamber. And I would hope we get a few of the people back and do walk out.
Well, wait a minute.
We're here. Thank God, Michael. Don't open that.
Yeah, don't open that. I think you're late, Mike. I think you're late. What's that?
I'd like to again speak on the subject of public officials. Now, let's count the public officials we have here, and there aren't too many. And I'd like to call your attention that those of us who are here cannot speak for the, I cannot speak for the Board of Supervisors. She cannot speak for the school board and tell what we're going to do. If the whole Board of Supervisors here, they could not take action. It would not be legal for them to take action here. We can go back and report to our boards and several boards and get action taken. Now, I'm ready to give you my personal feelings and what we would do, or what I would recommend that we do. These kind of things, but we can't say to the group here, this is what the county's going to do, or this is what the schools are going to do. We can only say, well, we'll take it back and have them study it and come in with a recommendation. We only have a few elected officials in the room.
As Bob Dent said, I agree with him as an elected official. I cannot speak for the school board here. Only in public meeting can we do that. But I do intend to take this back to the board, but I would like to have a copy of this. I think it's rather puts me in a very difficult position for you to ask us to respond to something that as a board we've never even heard about. And I would like a copy before I leave today, if I may.
Let me clarify that. After that meeting at which these were presented, that same day, they went out to every member on our list, which included members of the school board, including Dr. George Hall and others who are on our official list. We sent out that day 87, that afternoon, 87 of these from which I read. We met here 2 weeks ago, at which time we would have taken them up, but that was the day after the assassination, and we didn't. But as Glenn has said, these did go out to every member on that list, plus another 20 or so.
Well, I get your notices of the meetings, but I have never seen a copy of these.
Well, these did go out.
Dr. Hall didn't give it to the board members because it was not on our agenda nor circular.
Well, they did go out, but I can understand your
Can you get another copy
yes.
for me then,
we'll
please, Carol? Thank you.
Leon?
I will do the same.
Oh, all right.
Could I make a statement?
Yeah.
Now, apparently there are those here who feel that the public officials should be talking more, and this is a meeting where they should talk and not do so much listening, but we've done most of is listen. Now, the items which you have there as to the course in which we should approach the problems from now on, I would like to move that we continue our dialogues and use this vehicle to try to solve our problems. We're organized, we've been going, and I think we have ironed out many of our difficulties, and to say that this should be turned over to a different group is like backing up and starting all over again. I think this group right here is the proper one, and I would move that we continue our dialogues to try to solve the problem. And I believe that was in essence what the request was for the next item. Is that not right?
Been moved and seconded that we continue this dialogue as a method, as you said, solving the problem?
That's right.
Since I seconded, may I speak to the motion?
You're in order.
It seems to me we've spent all the time we need specifically and solely in dialogue to talk about why. If we don't know why now, any more talk will do us little good, if that's all we're talking about. We've reached the point now where having, I think, achieved a consensus as to why, I don't mean that we've converted ourselves individually, but we've reached a consensus as to why. We can now convert this dialogue into a dialogue as to how. As to how. A dialogue that has as its purpose assisting and advising in the areas in which things need to be done, the kind of things that ought to be done, and having regular dialogues with those who are in positions of authority and administration to carry out these specific acts of how we can convert ourselves from philosophy now to action. We can change from a religion of conversion to a religion of works.
All right, still talking to that motion.
He mentioned the public officials. We do invite all the councilmen. We invite the Board of Supervisors. We invite the Board of Education members individually. We invite some other judges. I just want to be sure that everybody that's supposed to be here has got an invitation to them.
They have an invitation, but that is not really to the motion. They have received personal letters. You know, we've gone through that. The mechanics have been set up and worked out over the past year. To the motion.
I think also, as Linda said, that...
A little louder, please. Can't hear you.
Judge Linda said, I think this should be the group that should make the decision about what we should do and what we're going to do. Someone mentioned before that we have said then we have ironed out most of our difficulties. I don't think we've ironed out many difficulties. I think we have erased a few personality clashes. But I think that if the city officials are going to come in and sit in on these meetings, and if some of them fight so vigorously against a lot of the things that have been said here, if they use that energy to help us fight for, I think we can accomplish much more.
All right, I saw a hand over here. I will recognize one. Ma'am?
Well, I think that you should include the Community Action Council.
Right here.
I firmly believe that you should include the Community Action Council, because we do represent quite a number of people. And these people are representing only so many people. And I think it's vastly unfair for you to have done what you have done in the past few years. In fact, a year. I'm surprised if I have something existed for a year.
You mean they should be invited here?
Yeah.
Officially are done?
Are they?
Officially are here.
Not really.
No.
I haven't been officially invited.
No.
All right. That would become members here then.
Yeah.
All right. That's a different question then. That's a different question, right?
Yeah.
We're still talking to the motion. Jack?
Carol, I'd be in favor of that. I've had some mixed feelings about the dialogue as an action vehicle, mostly because up until that time, we've never really considered specific acts that would further the objective that I think all of us have in coming here. But if we do constitute ourselves as an action group, I think that it would be strengthened if there was some official recognition. The city has recognized the CIC as an agency by giving it funds to carry on its work, but I think that other public bodies might also endorse the activities that are carried on here, the school board, for example, and the County Board of Education, other public groups, so that when this group really thought through an action program in a specific area and then send it over to the school board, that school board would be prepared to listen and to consider that this is a group that has this kind of function, and we are going to listen to its advice.
The legitimacy of this group
as an action vehicle. We can say we're going to be action oriented, but the rest of the community has to accept this as a fact and be willing to listen and to act on recommendations if they make sense.
We're still.
May I amend? Then offer this as an amendment that we would ask the public bodies in this city and county to endorse the activities of the dialogue and be prepared to act on the recommendations from this group to bring about the equality, because it seems to be beyond the fact, but to bring about racial harmony within the community, and I think this is what we're trying to achieve.
I second that motion, but I'd like to see include participation in the process too.
I would speak against the motion and suggest that it be amended to have the public agencies recognize that the city community dialogues are and have been and hopefully will continue to be an area in which concern can be expressed, that those officials participating therein are committed out of the dialogues to take back to the respective public agencies the explicit proposals for specific action that are requested to come out of here, and they individually be held responsible to the dialogue for the implementation by those agencies. Stated as you did, you will get You will get no public agency to commit themselves in advance to take any action at all with respect to proposals coming out of this informal discussion group. It's probably, one, illegal, and two, as a matter of elected representatives of the people, which the three or four agencies are, it just isn't going to happen.
Is that
a
term of a motion?
Well, may I respond just quickly?
He's talking to the amendment to amend an amendment. Go ahead, Zach. You heard comments on your amendment.
I think we're all trying to achieve the same thing, and I don't have any vested interest in my particular way of doing it. My thought was, though, that if there was this kind of public recognition, this doesn't necessarily commit a public body to do what we say. It only commits them to listen. And it seems to me that any public body is obliged to do this when any group of citizens approach it. In this instance, we're legitimizing that function because we say that here are a lot of people from various walks of life, including public officials and others, who've invested at least a year of their time trying to understand the issues, and perhaps because they've made this kind of investment, they're in a better position to make specific recommendations to public bodies. Now, I'll yield if what we want to achieve is, you know, if your way of doing it is better than mine.
Believe me, it is.
All right, then. The chair, First Amendment maker, has yielded to the second. Can we simplify what you've said? Did you want to try it? You said you can simplify it?
I think so, in this respect.
May he?
Well, I would. I could. It's difficult to simplify anything.
I spent years learning to be complicated.
the only way I can simplify it is to say granted or not granted, you know, when he gets in court. It seems to me that we're going one step too far in this limited time to try to define the specifics of how we go about doing this. I think at this time we should limit ourselves to making a decision whether or not we should move from this category of discussing the why of it and to how do we do it, and then have you and others work on and present back to us at the next meeting some suggestions as to how we may go about implementing that within the structure of government. I mean, you have to consider government and the authority of those who are called to act and how they can act and how they can't act.
Then I have to go back to these two because we're still talking about amendments. You have yielded to him. Would you yield, or how do you feel?
I will now yield to the simplified amendment that Judge Lindsley just so eloquently put, to the effect that this dialogue now accepts the premise that we move from philosophy to a discussion of implementation of suggested action, and at the next dialogue get into more detail, and hopefully those of us that are involved in government can give some thought to it and bring back and present to you the kinds of things that the agencies ought to endorse and recognize the dialogue as being.
All right. Now, is that an official amendment? That's the amendment?
I yield to his amendment.
Yes.
The motion is, as I just stated it, granted.
You come. You seconded that. Now, let's clear the air. That's a second. It's a second to the amendment. I won't try to repeat it, but I know what the essence is. We'll get it off the tape. Is there any need, or anyone wishes to have it clarified? The whole question has been called for. All in favor of the amendment, let it be known by aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment passes. The motion captured in essence, if I may paraphrase it, is that this moves from the philosophical discussion to the action. And of course, the amendment takes care of how later on.
And that this body be the body who...
This body becomes that action.
Sure.
Converts itself to the action.
for recommendation, et cetera, as a table choice. Oh, any question on that?
Question. Clarification of that. Now, it moves, you said, from the philosophical to the action.
Recommend this body become that group to recommend the action.
Now, we're presupposed an organization when we say that.
Yes.
That, when you move from the philosophical to action, that means that you have to organize for action.
Yes. Well, that's what he was saying. Yes. So later on, that's the amendment. That was taken care of in the amendment.
Yeah.
But that's our time.
We would consider the organization for caring for something.
Right. That's the next dialogue.
I'm still confused, but I said now, presupposed the organization. You know what I mean? That means we have to have a chairman, and we're going into an action group with resolutions coming from here. That's what you're saying.
Well, no, no. He was saying the method by which we convert it and get the action be considered later, whether or not it be a chairman, secretary, treasurer, what have you.
Well, you see, you move from the philosophical. This was from the philosophical to the action. That means you move from the intangible to the tangible.
Right.
That's presupposed organization, is what I'm saying.
That action group better include a lesson of parliamentary procedure.
You're back to the amendment. The amendment was to take care of those
question,
things.
Question, Mr. Chairman.
Call in question. You call in for the question.
All for the question.
All in favor of the motion as stated, let it be known by a word aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion is passed. I recognize the time long ago had passed. May I have your attention just for just for a second? Inasmuch as the agenda today was an official request, it's incumbent upon the chairman then to respond to them in some way through the minutes or interpretation thereof, which I will do, just as function. The other point is, we had one or two comments from two or three people. Don Logan.
General, I just heard you say that we were, remember, I don't know there, but after the motion that you just taken there to transfer it and step into an action group, I would like to recommend that possibly with the first action, because it was such a heated discussion and concerning request there made by the school there as to the delay with the Board of Education there and an implementation of the Lindsay report, I think would be incumbent on this body here to get some type of reaction there from the school board as to the delay of implementation of this Lindsay report. I think this is probably possible if we're going to be in action.
Okay, am I hearing you right then that one of the items we should start out talking about immediately in terms of action is the urgency of that report? Am I getting you right?
That's right.
Okay.
Point of personal privilege.
Hold up, Judge. I want to be sure that we catch, in terms of the record here, I want to be sure we're understanding him. I'm not sure I do. I want to be sure that the rest of us do. First, are you saying one of the urgencies that's before us as we go into action is to consider that? Am I right?
All right.
This point takes precedence over any
other. Only this. I hope this dialogue and everybody else that's concerned will start talking about the committee, the Citizens Committee on Equal Educational Opportunities, and not a Lindsley report. Not a Lindsley report.
I'm afraid you're stuck with that, Jed. Kerner report, the McCollum report, the Lindsley report. We can put them on the same parallel.
No, you don't.
One or two other comments and we'll go. Man, it's a short.
It's just a point of clarification. I'm not sure that we made a disposition in regard to the community action councils, whether or not we were going to extend an official invitation to them or not as part of this augmented group. If we did not, then in the deliberations of whoever is going, particularly the city attorney, about the ways in which we might be organized, that the Community Action Council would certainly be considered as an important segment of the community that should somehow be involved. I'm not sure what. Are they involved now officially? If they're not, then that should be part of the charge to the
One of the requests that went to the agenda committee, which did not meet because of some conditions there, was from Don Logan when he asked about it before. And also Mrs. Graff has brought it up today. George, you had your hand up.
Chairman, I General, I want to say to this group that I feel like an animal in a cage this morning, and somebody's up on a hill laughing to see how they're going to let me out or who's going to go turn the damn key. I'm very frustrated. I'm very emotionally upset because so long people have sit around and played and talked and laughed about my freedom. And I'm tired of people playing and laughing and talking about it and the parliamentary procedure of how we're going to implement it. All you got to do is stop being a racist and I'm free. That's all you've got to do. I'm very tired. I have a statement I want to make to the councilman here this morning, the mayor, and I hope this gets to them. I'm not speaking for any large group of people, I'm speaking for me. And this is to the mayor, the city council, the city manager, city board of supervisors, the board of education, all citizens of San Diego. For 10 years, the black man has been told by the white man in America that he is no longer a slave. Many black people believe this and is therefore happy with the share of opportunity you gave them. The black man has gotten equality mixed up with freedom. No man can give or take equality, for I was born equal. Freedom can be controlled by those in power, and oppression can be imposed upon those who are not in power. The black man in America is a slave. Yes, you will say not all of them, but we do have some who are free. But remember, when you talk about half free, that my body is one single function, and one single part of my body is all one, then therefore half of me cannot be free and the other half be enslaved. The black man in America and all over the world is black as a race. And if part of that race is enslaved, then all black men are enslaved because we all suffer from the same common thing, the color of our skin. I have suffered with all black men even though I have a degree from college and I have a middle class background. I was offered a job in a paint shop at Convair in 1958 when I graduated from college. I finally got a white collar job, but I still punched the clock with a white boy and with an 8th grade education, and I worked for supervisors with a high school diploma. I got promoted in the job that I have held, not because someone respected my ability to perform, but because I filed complaints with the federal government and the Fair Employment Practice Commission. I'm tired of being told I'm free when I know that I'm not. I'm tired of being told I'm sorry you were not selected for an assistant director of the Economic Opportunity Commission. I'm tired of being told you are not qualified for the director of the assistant director of the Manpower Development Office. I'm tired of being told you are not qualified for the director of the Mayor's Committee on Youth Opportunity. I'm tired of the white man dictating to my black brother how to treat me. I'm tired of you handpicking niggas to carry out your racist attitude for you. I'm tired of being fired upon the request of a white man and his nigger supporters. I will not be a slave. I want my freedom, and I want it today. If I do not get it, you're going to have to kill me, because I'm not going to live as a slave no more. That's my message to all white people. I'm not going to be no slave no more.
Right. Any other reactions, comments? Not move with your short. We'll take those to the proper committee there.
We'll adjourn.
Thank you for coming. We'll see you here in 2 weeks.